Recorded live.
This show contains mature truth content. Listener discretion is advised. Attention, corrupt politician and corporate heads, or any dumbass that has needs to be taken down. Congratulations, you have just pissed off the loudest stick of Brooklyn. Louis B is an American and loves liberty, especially his freedom of speech. Declaring war on all bullshit lunching. Infocatusha rockets into the enemy's camp. Broadcasting live from the Varsa Hate. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. And now here's your host, Louis B.
Oh, delicious. Hey, everybody. Enjoy. Robustness. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. I'm your host, as always, Louis B. Today we're going to be talking about the drug war. It's bullshit. We're getting fucked. It's a drain on the economy. Here we go. Winning the war on drugs is a worthy goal, but it's not an easy task. Whether you are for or against legalizing drug use, you must admit the devastation they can do to a person. For nearly a century, governments concentrated on cutting back supply. On the other hand, have they? I mean, people are still getting drugs very easily. Many famous rappers talk about making their living from selling drugs before becoming famous. Therefore, the question is, can the drug war be won? You're fighting two things here. Two powerful engines are driving this illicit drug train. Supply and demand. It's well known that any time the U.S. government declares war on anything, the problem gets much worse. But tell you the truth, it's not in the best interest of the U.S. to make drugs legal, even though people are going to still get them. Because it's a moneymaker for them. It's a big source of revenue. Police, when they confiscate drug money, it goes to help pay them. The city gets a cut. The state gets a cut. Federal drug cases, they seize property. They not only seize the money, then they send you and then they send you up the river. That's if you're selling. But if you're just a personal user, it's for personal use. They'll just throw you in jail for many years, especially with New York here, the Rockefeller drug laws. In an article from Time magazine, writer Joe Klein, it's about legalizing marijuana. The U.S., we spend $68 billion a year on corrections. One-third of those being corrected are serving time for non-violent drug crimes. We spend about $150 billion on policing and courts, and 47.5% of all arrests are marijuana-related. That is an awful lot of money, most of it non-federal, that could be spent on better schools or infrastructure, or simply returned to the public. But, you know, as we all know, we wouldn't want the public to have any money, would we? We wouldn't want the public to be free. Of course not. The Rockefeller drug laws is a term used to denote the statutes dealing with the sale and possession of narcotic drugs in the New York State penal law. The laws are named after Nelson Rockefeller, who was the state's governor at the time the laws were adopted. Rockefeller, a staunch supporter of the bill containing the law, signed it on May 8, 1973. Under the Rockefeller drug laws, the penalty for selling 2 ounces, approximately 56 grams, or more of heroin, morphine, raw or prepared opium, cocaine, or cannabis, including marijuana, these latter two being included in the statute, even though they are not narcotics from a chemical standpoint, or possessing 4 ounces, approximately 113 grams, or more of the same substance, was made the same as that for second-degree murder, a minimum of 15 years to life in prison, a maximum of 25 years to life. The original legislation also mandated that the same penalty for committing a violent crime while under the influence of the same drugs. But this provision was subsequently omitted from the bill and was not part of the legislation Rockefeller ultimately signed. The section of the laws applying to marijuana was repealed in 1979 under the Democratic Governor Hugh Carey. We're gonna take a quick break. This is the Crotch Out Radio Show. Feel free to call in.
Call the Crotch Out Radio Show now at 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980.
This segment of the Crotch Out Radio Show was sponsored by No Sweat, 100% union made apparel. Just check them out. Go to thecrotchoutradioshow.com and click the top banner. That is No Sweat Apparel. When you go there, tell them the Crotch Out Radio Show sent you. Back to the Crotch Out Radio Show. This is your boy Louis B. We got Brookosaurus on the line.
Baby.
Hey, wow. How you doing?
Fine.
So, what makes you call the Crotch Out Radio Show? You want to get in on the conversation, or are you gonna prank me?
It looks interesting.
It looks interesting.
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Your mom.
My mom. Wow. That's nice.
I know.
Wow.
You like pickles?
Not particularly.
Wow.
Yeah.
You like cheeseburgers?
Oh, no, they're delicious. I love cheeseburgers.
You know
what I also love? I love smearing ketchup on your mom's vagina and licking it off. It's tasty.
Oh, gee, me too.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here you go, sir.
Here he is, the biggest douche of the universe. In all the galaxies, there's no bigger douche than you. You've reached the top, the pinnacle of douchedom. Good going, douche. Your dreams have come true.
Congratulations. Brookosaurus is today's biggest douche of the universe winner.
Oh, thank you. I've worked very hard on that.
Oh, very good. Dude, you're going to... Yeah, if you're going to prank someone, at least be funny.
I was getting to it. Darla, say something.
Oof, that was a big-ass rip. I was going to make a joke, but then I got high. I was going to be all funny on the show, but then I got high. Oh, Brookosaurus, now you got muted. Because you got high. Because you got high. Because you got high. There you go. And he's gone. Where was I? The adoption of the Rockefeller drug laws gave New York State the distinction of having the toughest laws of its kind in the entire United States, an approach soon imitated by the state of Michigan, which in 1978 enacted a 650 lifer law, which called for life imprisonment without possibility of parole for sale, manufacture, or possession of at least 650 grams, approximately 1.45 pounds, of cocaine or any Schedule I or Schedule II opiate. Both New York and Michigan statutes came under harsh criticism from both the legal left and the political right. William F. Buckley, one of the most conservative public figures in America, was staunchly against it, as well as many in law enforcement, who saw inherent unfairness in placing the nonviolent crime of drug trafficking on par with murder. The laws also drew intense opposition from civil rights advocates who claimed that they were racist, as they were applied inordinately to African Americans and, to a lesser extent, Latinos. I mean, really think about it. We're putting people in jail for life, which we're spending money, our tax dollars are going to feed them, clothe them, wash them, give them pre-medical attention. They get to work out. Perhaps if they have good behavior, be able to have cable. You know, privileges like that. Just for, a lot of times, personal use. If you're selling, that is the biggest hypocrisy out there. I mean, does anyone remember the Iran-Contra scandal with Ali North? It was a political scandal in the United States which came to light in November 1986 during the Reagan administration over arms for hostages deal with Iran and funding the Nicaraguan Contras. What was done was, they would actually fly cocaine into the United States, flooded American streets with the shit, just so they could buy guns for the Contras. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North of the National Security Council in late 1985, in which a portion of the proceeds from weapons sales was diverted to fund anti-Sandinista and anti-communist rebels or Contras in Nicaragua. It wasn't just weapons sales, my friends. They were selling drugs. You got the CIA caught actually flying stuff into the United States and dropping it off in Arkansas with then Governor Bill Clinton. You don't think he was getting a cut of the action? I mean, come on, this is big business for everybody. The government is not going to legalize It's not going to legalize drugs, because the moment they do, the price of it drops. Does anybody know if it's rare or hard to get, you could jack up the price? I mean, I was at the barber shop and they're talking about how much a bag of weed costs. Dude, $600 a pound for a plant. Are you kidding me? $600 a pound. The war on drugs is a huge failure and a waste of money. Well, I mean, they're wasting our money, because the money that they do get doesn't come back to us not one bit. So we're losing money because they're taking tax dollars to pay for it, but it's not being put back in. I mean, it would be one thing if they're if they were actually doing something, stopping it, and putting it towards programs to make sure you stop people from wanting it, to demand it. But it's not enough because, you know what, it also takes tax dollars to actually fund people to get off the stuff. And I'm not just talking about pot because, you know what, yeah, I'm not saying I agree with the usage of pot, but a lot of people I see, they're still healthy. They haven't gone on to use other drugs. It's not a stepping stone drug, as most people say. But I am an advocate for hemp, which is the male plant. Marijuana is the female species of the cannabis. Hemp is the male. Hemp is very healthy for the human body. I was doing my own research, and I found out the reason why they banned the growth of hemp here is because you have to, like, really be very careful with it because the spores or whatnot. If you have to, like, cut it at some point so that way the female plant doesn't sprout. The female equivalent, which is marijuana. But unless, you know, if you're diligent, then boom, you got yourself a healthy source of food. Hemp. Who would have thunk it? In fact, if people were really worried about global warming, if people were really worried about losing our our rainforests, use hemp. Hemp is the most versatile plant out there. You can use it to make a lot of things. You can actually make building materials out of it. You could build houses with it using hemp. Of course, you have to manufacture it, of course. I mean, I'm not saying just stack plants and boom, you got yourself a house. Of course not. It takes some doing. You can make paper out of it, and it's a lot cheaper. It'll come out to be a lot cheaper than the regular paper there. And, you know, regular paper is like, what, 69 cents a sheet or something like that? I mean, if regular people grew it, hemp grows everywhere. You could grow it anywhere, and it replenishes the soil, which means you'll have farmers planting it right next to their corn or other vegetables. And you're protecting the soil, you're protecting the topsoil, which means, you know, a healthier farm. A farm stays healthy, stays growing food for a strong country. Hell, grow more food. Do you have a lot more farms? A lot more farmers. Shoot. A lot more, you know, I mean, and I've said this in past shows, especially in the national debt we're in right now. We grow more food, we send it across seas to pay our debts. Food, people are going to still want food. You start feeding the world and saying, look, you know, knock off a few mil there, a few mil here, you know. But that ain't going to happen because drugs are still illegal. And I keep saying this, you're never going to stop demand. You are never going to stop demand of drugs. It's just silly to even try because you know what? How about this? How many people listening to this show have went to sex education class or had to talk with their parents saying, you know, maybe you should wait, you know, all this happened. No, guess what? Your hormones still went right and you did it anyway. I'm not saying that, you know, people do drugs because their hormones are out of whack and, you know, stuff like that. But you make something taboo, it makes it that much mysterious, that much attractive. If it becomes every day, it's like, yeah, whatever, no. That's just lame. It's not cool anymore to do it. It's not being a bad boy. And I mean, and if it does kill somebody from doing it, guess what? You're curing the overpopulation if you're a transhumanist. Or guess what? Oh, well, Bill died. He was a CEO of a Fortune 500 company because he OD'd. Oh, well, what we're going to do? Oh, here, hire somebody else. Survival of the fittest, my friends. You make smart choices, you live another day. You make dumb choices, you die. And someone else takes your place. It's that simple. It's that, you know what, I'm just saying, let nature punish people for making dumb mistakes doing drugs. That way, it doesn't cost me anything, it doesn't hurt my pocketbook, you don't take that much, you don't take that amount of taxes out my paycheck, you know. And guess what, you're going to be competing, and if you tax pot, and here's the thing, you tax pot, because I'm looking. Back to this article on legalizing pot by Joe Klein in Time Magazine. At the same time, there is an enormous potential windfall in the taxation of marijuana. It is estimated that pot is the largest cash crop in California, with annual revenues approaching $14 billion. A 10% pot tax would yield $1.4 billion in Canada alone. Alone. If this much money could happen in one state, imagine if all states started doing it. Imagine if we start exporting it. Goodness. We start sending it out to people, to other countries, of course, if it's legal and shit. You know, imagine the amount of money we can make from that. Seriously. I mean, I didn't have enough time to do the research on how much Amsterdam makes. Like, hold on, let me see if I can try to do a quick. In Amsterdam, drug revenue. Oh, they earn. Okay, the Times Online. .co.uk. Let me pull this up. Amsterdam's drug police demand right to keep on smoking cannabis. Police in Rotterdam seize marijuana plants, although possession of small amounts is tolerated. Cultivation is illegal. When it comes to turning a blind eye to cannabis use in Europe's most tolerant city, police in Amsterdam are demanding the right to practice what they preach. Officers in the capital of the Netherlands are in an open revolt against a new code of behavior that orders them to stop taking drugs in their free time. The new rules, due to come in January 1st, have upset officers who patrol the city's infamous coffee shops where cannabis is smoked openly by locals and millions of tourists attracted by Amsterdam's relaxed atmosphere. It has been their duty for years to operate a policy of non-enforcement over the coffee shop culture. Now the police union will back its members in defying the cannabis ban. The union has vowed to bring a test case in court against the first officer to fall foul of the new rules, claiming that they amount to an unjustified intrusion of personal life. Police should not be put in pigeonholes in which they can no longer be themselves, said Hans van Dusen, the chairman of the Netherlands Polite Bond, the police union. If you allow people in the country to smoke cannabis, you would be a hypocrite to say to the police officers, you are not allowed to do that. It is illegal by law, but we allow it for everybody else, just to use it in small amounts for themselves. There must be scope for using soft drugs. The code, however, is only the latest example of a backlash against years of Dutch tolerance that have given Amsterdam a seedy reputation that the city's authorities are keen to reverse. The month of this month, Job Cohen, the mayor, unveiled plans to convert scores of Amsterdam's notorious prostitute windows into fashion displays in an attempt to clean up parts of the red light zone around some of the more attractive streets and canals. He has also led intense efforts to close coffee shops and so-called smart shops, which sell harder drugs such as magic mushrooms. Supplying and possessing cannabis remains illegal in the Netherlands, and police have always been banned from drinking or taking drugs on duty. But the city force now wants all officers to set a better example. It was only clear that you could not appear at your work drunk or stoned, a police spokesman said. We are now saying you are also seen as a police officer when off-duty. The use of alcohol is permitted when off-duty, but officers should not be seen drunkenly babbling on the street in their free time, the spokesman said. The code states that officers must behave as model citizens. The key words they must live by are respect, transparency, responsibility, involvement, trustworthiness, justice, and balance. Major Van Dusen remained defiant. If there is one police officer who has been smoking a soft drug in private and they catch him, we will go to court to ask to be treated as everybody else. Unlike the Police Federation in Britain, the NPB union has full powers of industrial action. In a dispute over pay, the NPB has forced the postponement of several top-level football matches this month by refusing to work overtime and is planning to use its strike powers from January 9th if it does not get a better salary offer. The police force have every right to object. What you do in your free time is none of their business. As long as they are enjoying themselves and not hurting anyone, as well as not going to work stoned, then it's within their right to smoke and drink as they please. I really wish the Dutch government will understand that many tourists fancy Amsterdam for its tolerance, and if coffee shops get closed down, that no one will get hurt more than the city itself, since they generate an estimated $1.5 billion of revenue per year. And that was one of the comments by Frank Lurban from Liverpool, UK. Oh, snap. We got Mary Grace Sunshine. How you doing? And the Angry Scotsman.
Hey, how you doing, Louie? Long time no talk.
Yes, I know. How we doing, my friend?
Doing okay. Doing not too bad, I guess. You know, it's considering.
Yeah.
We got the dreaded swine flu up here, of course, but...
Same here, but no one's being hospitalized for it, so, you know, it's all a scare tactic, Scott.
Yeah, I know. I've been following it, and I've been telling everybody, but it's killed two people. Dude, do you know how many people the regular flu kills a year? Anyway, saw the topic for today, wanted to go ahead and chime in. What have we gone over so far other than the evils of marijuana?
I mean, the fact that we will save billions of dollars each year for if we stop locking up people for personal use.
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy of locking people up for selling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that would do it. How about, you know, the fact that the government kind of controls all this whole garbage, ships and all the illegal contraband. And then
I talked about the Iran-Contra scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I forgot the name of that famous crack drug dealer from L.A. What was his name?
Oh, crap. I do not know. Was he the guy that Clintons were hanging out with? No.
No.
That's a cocaine dealer. Never. Sorry about that. I don't know. Having a complete brain fart here.
Hmm. I got married. Great. Oh, I don't think I'm going to read this. I don't want to embarrass her. That's not the type of personal use I was thinking about. Drugs weren't involved in my idea of personal use, young lady. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Nice.
Yes. So, Pookie Brown. No, not Pookie Brown. What the fuck was his name? All I remember is, well, New Jack City kind of did it like an imitation of him.
Yeah.
He's like, ain't no Uzis made in Harlem. Ain't no poppy fields in the hood. This is a bit, you know,
yeah.
Where's it coming from? You know, I'm like, I watched New Jack City when it came out, and I was really young, so I didn't understand it. I watch it now, I'm thinking, you know, where the hell are these things coming from? Why are you putting guys in jail for stuff you're bringing in?
All right, why are you putting people in jail for doing things, even if it is harmful? I haven't seen nothing that proves that marijuana is harmful to anybody. But even if you're doing crack, cocaine, any of that stuff, if you are not harming anybody but yourself, that's your own damn business. What the hell are
exactly.
they doing throwing you in jail for doing something to yourself? I mean, come on, people.
Yes.
It's freaking ridiculous.
Exactly. We got Dr. Kimberly on
Doctor.
The line. Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor. Yes, jail is a business.
Yes.
Jail is a business. And we're wasting money. I mean, I read this Time Magazine article from the Special Environment issue, the April 13, 2009 Time Magazine, the Joe Klein article.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read this again. We spend $68 billion per year on corrections, and one-third of those being corrected are serving time for non-violent drug crimes. We spend about $150 billion on policing in courts, and 47.5% of all arrests are marijuana-related. That's an awful lot of money, most of it non-federal, that could be spent on better schools or infrastructure, or simply returned to the public.
Or how about actually getting the police out there and taking care of real crimes? So just, you know, oh, my car was stolen. Here, let me give you a number to give your insurance company. Sorry, we won't be looking for it. We're too busy arresting this pothead on the corner of Broadway.
I know. But we all know the police are not there to protect us.
They're money gatherers and they're revenue makers. And what's more is that's even more apparent now. I mean, the cops are insane now. Oh, you... Let you go on 2 miles an hour over, that's a $75 ticket.
I've actually said this story a while back about how I was coming home from my then girlfriend's house.
Yeah.
And I had to take the train coming from Long Island, and you know, went back to the last stop, which is in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, oh, well, what's in your, you know, you got, hey boy, hey son, your son. Well, I just kept on walking.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a boy, and there's only one man could call me son, and that is my father.
Right.
Who I know very well. contrary to the popular belief that most Hispanics don't know their fathers.
Right.
I know him very well. I look just like him, except no green eyes. Kimberly, you want to chime in?
Doc, right, let me unmute myself.
Yep.
I just jumped in. So basically you're talking about drugs,
yep,
arrests,
mm-hmm,
criminal justice system, you know, all this. Am I right?
Yeah, criminal
yep.
justice
yeah.
system could be a loose term, but we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, jails have been privatized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to give you an example of, you know, what I see, you know, for part-time, for fun, because my first degree is in theater, you know, I work at our little civic center, you know, doing calls, running spotlight, you know, doing shows, right? Well, to clean up the arena last night after the Blues Fest, they have the guys in there from the halfway house. Now,
right.
these are guys that are, you know, in there working, okay? And they're being paid, and their salary is going to the halfway house that is privatized, you know, because they're not exactly bad enough to be in there with the real criminals. And, and they're good enough to work, and they might give them 25 to 50 cents, you know, at every $5 they make, you know. You know, but the rest goes, you know, they're earning their money to pay for their keep and their food and all this other stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's just, and it's taken work away from people who need the work.
Right. This is like internal outsourcing, basically.
Or we can go about it another way and just call it slave labor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, you have kind of the slight issue. Yeah, they were considered duly in a court of law and so on and so forth, and therefore it's okay constitutionally. But, you know, what are they going to, if they start arresting speeders and giving them the same treatment, it's ridiculous. Now, these are people that don't, most of these potheads don't really do anything to harm anybody. So,
well, that's the reason
why
they're targeted, because they won't fight back.
Right.
It's insidious. It's well thought out.
Right.
Okay. Now, my point of view is, you know, I'm pretty drastic. You know, I think everything ought to be legalized. Everything, heroin, cocaine, marijuana. I think it ought to be taxed. You know, sold just like cigarettes. You know, you have to be over 18, because nobody's going to rip out somebody's car stereo and take it into the cigarette store. It won't work. You have to have cash.
Exactly.
So you're going to take the money out of the hands of the mafia, and I think they ought to legalize prostitution and, you know, all these other things that are illegal. Just let people be people. They're going to do it anyway.
Exactly.
Tax them. Stop taxing small business to death, you know, and let's get on with it.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of, let me at least read this again. At the same time, there is an enormous windfall potential in the taxation of marijuana. It is estimated
right.
that pot is the largest cash crop in California, with an annual revenues approaching $14 billion.
It is our largest export and import crop, and we do not tax it.
Hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
But the government is still getting their cut, though.
All right, Louis, if you lose me, I've got a really bad storm. I just want to tell you that ahead of time, okay?
Okay.
All right. But the government,
so,
what?
The government is still getting a cut.
Oh, well, yeah.
So, I mean, the real problem is the people ain't getting the benefit of the drug trade. You know, and I forgot where I saw this, but just because you legalize marijuana doesn't mean you're going to start smoking the next day. It doesn't mean more people are going to start smoking it.
Well, wherever they've done this, you know, there have been studies shown, and at first there's this little backlash of people who never would do it because it was illegal. Try it. You know, but things don't go crazy. Things don't go out of control. It's not madness and mayhem in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a matter of fact, it takes away from the madness and the mayhem.
Right.
So, no, it's not going to cause this backlash of, oh, my God, we're going to have a complete pot-smoking society. You know, the same amount of people that smoke pot, do heroin and cocaine and LSD and whatever other illegal drug you can think of are still going to do it. And as a matter of fact, it might curb it, because the main reason a lot of kids start is because it's illegal.
Yeah, that's what I actually said that earlier. I mean, I made the analogy like most of us had sex, sex education class. Our parents said, look, wait till you get married. Most of us haven't.
Well, look at how well prohibition worked.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and it doesn't make anyone a bad person. I mean, unless they start neglecting their family and stuff like that. But
another big business is the whole DWI situation.
The whole
what? Driving while under the influence.
Ah.
You know? Now, I am not about anybody driving drunk. I am not.
No.
At all. Don't
I
don't misconstrue my words. I'm not.
I kind of would like a whole demolition derby going on up there, so I kind of would like to see that be entertaining for me, but, you know, I'm just kidding.
But, you know, on the other hand, they've turned it into a mighty big business. And a reason to have checkpoints, you know, oh, we got to see if you're drunk, you know. Because now you're guilty until proven innocent instead of innocent until proven guilty. We're not going to wait for you to swerve. We're just going to pull you over and check you out.
Right.
Because we got to get the drunks off the road because they're the bad guys.
Well, I mean, and also they actually try to stop people who are walking under the influence. You know, because in New York City, most people just take the train.
Dude, wait. I just read an article where they arrested a guy for riding a horse under the influence.
Dude, the horse is my designated driver. Relax.
Did you see that video out of Texas that was circulating here recently where that guy was riding a lawnmower down an old country dirt road?
Oh, yeah.
Drunker than Cooter Brown, and they tasered the crap out of him.
No, actually, I saw an article from Texas that the guy modified a beer stool with a mower engine, and he was driving that down the street drunk as hell.
Well, the video I saw,
like,
what is
this? Monster's Garage meet Anheuser-Busch?
Oh, gosh. You know, there are some people that you'll just never take their Budweiser away from them. They just need to learn not to try to use the streets that are owned by the government.
But Miss, I just wish they would close that. I wish they would close on Budweiser, though. Not because for any reason, like, oh, prohibition. Because it's a fucking sucky-ass beer. Ugh.
All right, did you know Budweiser, that's out of St. Louis, that has always been an American icon,
it's
has
owned
now
by,
been sold
yep.
for an interest?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is why I advocate only buying from microbreweries. Microbreweries. Real American beer, and they do it for the taste, not to get drunk. Not, well, I mean, you could get drunk off of it, but it's more craft for taste.
Microbrews.
You know. All right.
Microbrew.
I'm not having this little kid fuck with me today. Goodbye.
Oh, this is a little kid? Okay.
Yeah, he likes to, little Alejandro likes to come in, and he's like, I'm gonna report you to Dave for messing with me. Yeah, he called me out on my own damn show the other day when I calling me an idiot, calling names, and he doesn't like the backlash I gave him. So. So I'm,
you know,
just not.
Here's a piece of advice: never, ever, ever piss on a dragon, especially a fire-breathing one, when you don't have a sword and a shield.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
How you doing?
How you doing? Nah, I'm doing good. You know, I'm here, you know, doing the show. Yeah, you know, I'm keeping it real. You know, I'm telling people, you know, if you're going to do drugs, do it responsibly, because you're going to get locked up if you get caught. And then you're going to be some Batman's girlfriend, you know, bada-bing, you know what I mean?
And then you're going to be cleaning up after people at a blues fest for 50 cents an hour. Are you there, Louie?
I'm here. You know, I've been picking up cups, and they pay me 25 cents an hour. Look, I can't even get a little Debbie cake.
Cups. We're talking about, it was nasty. It was so nasty the way they left that auditorium. Chicken bones and beer and puke and, oh, I was so happy I wasn't the one cleaning that up. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, what's this? Someone dropped a deuce. This is just nasty. Can't you people get to the bathroom? Oh, look, it looks like someone actually missed the toilet completely, and this is the women's bathroom. This is just fucked up.
Oh, I won't go in the women's bathroom at the Blues Fest. I won't. I will not even consider it. I did one year by accident, and I walked in, turned around, and walked right back out. I'm like, whoa.
What was going on?
It was unbelievably nasty. You know, now the problem is we have too few bathrooms, you know, but it was I don't know whether they were flushing things down the toilet they shouldn't have been, but there was this, it, you know, talk about missing the toilet, you know. And I mean, this is the woman's room. I'm like, ladies, please. You know, just because you're drunk doesn't mean you have to act like this.
Hey, honey, you take know. A funnel.
Something. Jeez. You know, we get to sit down. Aim is easy. You know. God. Mm. But we had a good show last night. It was actually one of the better shows. I've done the Blues Fest now for 6 or 7 years running. And I run Spotlight. And, you know, I unload the 18-wheelers. We set up the stage. And, you know, and we had better blues bands this year. They raised the ticket price, I think. And it was a good show. It was a much better crowd because they raised the ticket price. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as nasty as it normally is, you know, leaving the building. Now, one thing that makes it so nasty, and I tried to point it out to the people that, you know, run the event, you know, because here I am in the Spotlight booth, and I've kind of got this bird's eye view on everything, right? There's no trash cans anywhere.
Oh.
They don't put any trash cans out. They had
Well, that's because it could probably, because somebody might get drunk and fling it at somebody like a gorilla.
I don't know what the reasoning is for not having trash cans, but you've got broken glass all over the floor. You've got, I mean, it's you know, it's really not a good situation. You know,
actually, they actually sell glass bottles?
No. All right. No, it's it's BYOC.
Oh.
Bring your own cooler.
Oh, that's stupid then. That's still stupid.
You know, and they don't provide any trash cans for these people, you know, and it the place is trashed.
Yeah, I mean, for a security stand from, you know, I did security. From a security
safety.
Standpoint, for a safety standpoint, you shouldn't allow glass bottles in everywhere because it could be used as a weapon. If you're going to sell alcohol, that's why they only give you plastic cups.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, there's broken glass everywhere. I mean, it's, oh my goodnesses. Mm. It's just, And those poor guys that had to come in and clean up. I felt so sorry for them, you know.
Especially that one guy that got hit in the face with a used tampon. It was just messed up.
Oh, he kind of liked that.
Oh, really?
I'm wrong for saying that, but yeah.
Hey, I made tea out of it once, so.
You made what?
I made tea out of it once. Use your imagination. Yeah.
You're a vampire, huh?
Ew. Well, you know, I kind of like the strawberry milkshake mustache.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, stop orgasming over there.
I'm not. That sounds a lot different.
Yeah.
Mmm.
that's just you.
Talk about breaking glass. So this morning after the show,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know I'm thoroughly nasty because I've been working the event for, you know, maybe 24 hours straight. You know.
Yeah, blame the event.
Nasty. You know, and It's like 5:00 in the morning, and I pick up my beautiful daughter, and I tell her, you know, I'm hungry. You want to go eat? And she's like, well, I look like crap. And I'm like, oh, wow, look at me. And she's like, oh, okay. So we go to International House of Pancakes.
Nice. IHOP?
IHOP. And,
Did you get the Tutti Frutti Fresh and Fruity?
No, I got steak and eggs.
Mm,
out of hash browns. And pancakes. I was hungry. I hadn't eaten in 24 hours. You know, I'm the only girl out there doing the work I do. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. All right.
Yeah, I was hungry.
All right.
Hungry.
All right.
And, you were starving.
You're starving.
And,
I understand.
This was my Mother's Day dinner, you know, at 5:00 in the morning.
By the way, happy Mother's Day to everyone listening to the Crotch Shot Radio Show right now. And, yes, and if you don't have any kids, still happy Mother's Day. So,
You have a mother.
You have a mother. I saw my mother today, but today was her anniversary, so she said, "Get out!" Okay. I know where I get my libido from. Get out! Like, happy Mother's Day, get out! All right.
I love you.
All right. Or.
Teddy Rob, Dad.
Yeah. No, well, no. No,
hey,
no,
I think it's cool when parents are still having sex.
Well, it was just my, my stepfather, so.
Well, you know, she's still getting it, right?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about my mom on the job.
What? Talk about everything else?
I don't want to talk about my mom on the job.
You brought it up.
I don't want to.
Brought it
I
up.
I just made innuendo. Yeah, get out! Yeah, and then I was like, okay. And then I immediately started.
It's peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time!
Okay, enough of that silliness.
I knew you were going there.
How do you know I was going? How you know?
Because you had backed yourself up in a corner.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean I backed myself in a corner? So what I... Get... Ugh. All right, with that being said, we're going to be right back. This is the Crotch Out Radio Show. Radio show was sponsored by No Sweat, 100% union made apparel. Just check them out. Go to thecrotchoutradioshow.com and click the top banner. That is No Sweat Apparel. When you go there, tell them the Crotch Out Radio Show sent you.
This is war.
Welcome back to the Crotch Out Radio Show. I had to freaking escape. So, yes. Scary? What's scary? Someone said it's something scary. Oh, man. I hate when I back myself in the freaking corner like that. It's like, uh-oh, how do I get out of this? I know.
Hey, sweetie, how do you get out of that?
By doing this.
This is war, and it's on tonight, so get off.
We're changing the subject. Yes.
All right, so did you hear about the Illinois teen that died from a tasering accident? And... they're not pressing charges on the police officers.
Of course not. Of course. Welcome, guest three, to the Crotch Out Radio Show. Why did they taser him to death?
I'd have to look, but I'm sure he was being an unruly citizen and said something like, huh? You know, because they do that.
Her.
I'd have to go look it up.
Her. No. How are you? Guess three. Her. All
right. Let's see. I'm finding the link.
Find the link. Find the link. To
get that link.
Get that link.
Hello, guess three. How are you?
The link that will prevent war from breaking out.
I don't know about all that.
HTML, rated R.
Okay, speaking of war, okay? You know how they're hyping that June 30th, all the troops are going to come back home?
Allegedly.
Right? Well, I just talked to this person who's fixing to be deployed, and they're going to Iraq on June 25th.
Hmm.
I'm like, really? It's a joke.
Oh, wow. 5 days. Do a
yeah,
good job. Do a good job.
I said, well, you know, everybody's supposed to be coming home on the 30th, right? And he said, yeah, no, not so much. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's your link. There's your link.
That's my link.
I'm reading it from somewhere that I posted it, so let me know if it's not up.
It's there.
All right.
The link. From the Chicago Tribune. Alrighty, highlights a collection. What? Alrighty, police attorneys want delay. Del Rey Beach police investigating death of suspected home. Either you're homeless or you're not. How you are suspected of being homeless? Does he or does he not live in a box? Well, we don't want to make no assumptions. Maybe he's just a dirty, stinky son of a bitch, but he has a condo.
You know, if you would have saw me last night, you would have might have thought something if you didn't see the tools hanging off my belt. You know? You know what I'm saying? Because I was pretty dirty and stinky and nasty and, you know, disgusting.
You do know this show is being recorded, and I'll probably use that as a clip. You know, I am dirty, stinky.
Nasty and disgusting. With my tool belt.
Oh, yeah.
You want to come hang out in the spotlight booth with me, baby?
In the spotlight?
Yeah. I climb up in the ceiling of the building and spotlight.
Yeah, well.
It's fun on outdoor events where you get to climb up scaffolding and man the spotlight.
Knowing my ass, I'll probably end up on top of the damn spotlight and you'll get the fat man signal.
You know, that'd be kind of difficult. Those are big units.
So am I. Moving on.
No, they're bigger than you.
Okay.
I've manhandled one of them.
I bet you have.
I got to ride a forklift this time.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
What, that was his name?
No, a forklift. A real forklift while we were pulling equipment up.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, I got to ride the forklift and secure the equipment. And one of the pieces I was securing was already unstable before we even, you know, it was, yeah, you know. And so, yeah, it all shifted and everything. It was kind of crazy. And nobody could stand down to kind of hold it because, you know, if it fell, it would have, like, killed somebody. And, yeah, I got to ride the forklift. That was pretty cool. It was groovy until, like, they had me all the way up in the air. And then I looked down and I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of, because everything was shifting under my feet and all that. And yeah, I'm like, wow. Hello?
Yeah.
It was cool, Louis.
Okay.
Groovy.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. that was the point.
Well, there you go.
Well, the two it said that the two officers followed established policy and procedures regarding the use of force and the stun gun.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I mean, at least they followed procedure when zapping somebody to death.
Yeah, and then so Cummings, who I'm not quite sure that is, probably somebody to do with the defendant, insisted Sunday that officers won't have to stand up and take blame, quote unquote, and shocked her son, all right, that must be the mommy, with the stun gun even after he was handcuffed and face down.
Ah. Yeah, we got John B. from Memphis on the line. Johnny B.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hey.
Hey, sweetie.
Johnny Balls, as we call him. Or Jay Balls in from Brooklyn.
Anyway.
Don't choke.
I know. Stepping outside. I had a little bit of a conflagration trying to bake a cake earlier.
All right.
Yeah, basically, the cake exploded and caught the whole inside of my oven on fire.
Damn. How does a cake explode? What were you? Would you put C4?
No, there must have been an air pocket in the batter, and then I just dumped it in and shoved a pan in the oven. The oven was ready to go. Shut the door on it and just let it bake. And all of a sudden, hears kind of a sound, and it's self-cleaning right now, which is the reason why I'm outside, because it stinks my whole house up. Don't lie to me, Louie.
What?
Don't lie to me. You didn't think that was funny. It wasn't supposed to be funny.
Okay.
Anyway. You doing all right, Kimberly?
Dude, I survived the blues fest yet again.
Yeah, I got your message earlier.
Yeah, it was a better class of blues fest. They raised the ticket price.
Yep, gotta do that sometimes. Hang on a minute.
Do you smell what Barack is cooking?
It was still sold out. It was a great event. Mm-hmm. All right,
cool.
I'm reading this article.
All right, yes.
All right, I don't know if you read this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they paint the little boy to be crazy.
Hold on, we're getting a call from Barack Obama. This is for you, Kim.
Maybe they're looking at that big butt of yours.
Damn.
All right, first of all, it's Kimberly, and my butt is gorgeous.
I'm sure it is, but...
Maybe they're looking at that big butt of yours.
I'm just saying.
And don't get me started.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right. Holyfield was 17 on October 28, 2006, when officers in Jerseyville, a community of about 8,000 people, that big community of 8,000, roughly 50 miles from St. Louis, shocked the Dow, I have no idea what that is, teenager, at least twice with the stun gun. Officers say the teen turned combative after they approached him while he was carrying a Bible and a cordless phone and shouting, "I want Jesus."
Are you sure he wasn't calling his Uncle Jesus?
You know, I don't know. I'm just reading what they've put here in paper on black and white.
So. Cordless phone. Say where the kid has God's direct line.
You know, does he want to share the number? Can we get it off 411?
Yeah. That is Harvey K. God.
Sure, you can have my number, baby.
We all got his number, Louie.
Yeah.
We don't need a phone. Yeah. So anyway, never carry a Bible and a cordless phone and scream that you want Jesus while under arrest. You will be tasered to death.
How about a box of Haagen-Dazs and a cell phone? Screaming, "I want John Candy."
I want candy.
I want candy.
Why are you worrying about such talk?
Good evening. Good evening, Maddie Grace. Comment allez-vous? So, yeah. Oh, man.
The person you're trying to reach is drunk. Please try your call again.
All right. Ciao. Ciao, Bella.
Arr. Okay, I'm on a forum, and they've made this post that's kind of weird, and of course they give no link to it. But it's supposedly written by Bill Sweetman from Aviation Week. For black budget watchers, the FY 2010 budget is a revolution. Spending on classified programs and activities is listed as such by category. Goodbye, something evaluation and analysis program. So long, special evaluation program. These long-running budget lines and their ever-changing names have disappeared, along with the chore of wading through the U.S. Air Force's operational systems and development budget, counting what is there and calculating what is missing. In the R1, Research and Development, P1, P1 procurement and O1 operations budget of 2010, just over $50 billion is listed for classified programs, the largest ever sum. The Pentagon's black budgets, including the intelligence budget nested inside, are roughly equal in magnitude to the entire defense budget of the United Kingdom, France, or Japan.
Okay. Damn. Hmm. Hmm.
Of course there's something wrong with him. He's a Negro.
Yep. That's what I was thinking.
You better watch with those hate crimes now, you know.
Negro is not a hate crime word.
Not?
Negro, you're thinking nigger. Or ninja.
No, I'm not thinking any gers.
Gers.
My puppy dog has really big ears. We call them boogers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a hate crime?
I guess against boogers.
Boogers.
I don't know. I don't think if it's a very strong enough lobbying community.
Huh.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, I think I've lost steam. It's like, okay, well, I talked about everything I wanted to talk about. I really got to stop doing everything so fucking quickly. Well, not everything.
Mm-hmm. So your theme was that Americans are being arrested for things they shouldn't be arrested for.
Exactly. Which is wasting money, wasting time.
Yeah.
You know, we're if that's the case, how's about we catch kidnappers, catch rapists. What crime should? I mean, you know, let's just ask ourselves this question before we start saying let's make things legal. What crimes should be illegal? Should be punished?
Hmm.
I mean, theft. You know, there's that. Murder, of course. Assault. Homosexuality. Being black, of course.
Wait a minute. Now you're getting ridiculous.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
Well, I'm just saying.
Homosexuals and blacks should just have their own area to live separate from everyone else.
Yes.
And then if you're black and homosexual, we'll have to find a very special place for you. But it's not a crime.
Right. Yeah, I would say give them their own island called Alcatraz.
And of course the breeders, we'll have to separate them out.
Yeah. Right?
You know, the breeders.
I'm a breeder.
You're a breeder?
I'm a breeder.
I'm a breeder, too. We'll have to be separated from everybody else. You know.
Well,
Mary that should be a crime.
Mary Grace is going to listen to this. She's going to be like, aha! So let me be careful what I say before she comes and tries to cut me with a barilla. Brettoli!
She may come after you.
Yeah, she will.
It just won't be to cut you.
Oh, really?
That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to talk privately after this, because, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not
so
for
when
the
you
show.
Coming down here, Louie?
Goodness, when I get everything, when my leg is better healed and...
How's your leg doing?
So far, so good. I mean, yeah. I need, you know, it's still, my ankle still hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you getting it on ice?
Ice? I better stop. Excuse me, John B. Do you have a vagina?
No,
yeah.
But
do you?
One in
do,
his house.
Do
my chair is live.
No, thank you. I don't want. I don't feel like getting myself killed over that.
I
John B.
You might
no.
Share,
yes.
You wouldn't have to take.
Yes and no. Do you have a vagina? Because on my list, I mean, yeah, we're boys and all, but you know, a vagina gets top billing. That's just the way I do things.
It's the way you roll.
This is how I'm okay. Whatever. Don't okay. Whatever. Act like you're not. Oh goodness. He's gonna come and shoot me. Just you didn't come visit me. You
okay.
Didn't come. Like, but dude, I wanted to get some honey.
I have a
some
little
syrup.
Situation going on with one of my puppies. I'm gonna have to mute my mic for a minute and go handle this. Okay.
All right.
I'll be back in a minute.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, we'll be right back after these messages from the Crotch Shot Radio Show.
Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, and Staten, from the Battery to the top of Manhattan, Asian, Middle Eastern, and Latin, black, white, New York, to make it happen.
Oh, damn it! I forgot how short that is. Do you like sleeping with young white boys? But the only problem is they seem to get older and older. White boys are easier to rape because it's easy to convince them that it's their fault. But still, there is a risk. One boy might still slip up, which is why we have the perfect solution for you. Now introducing, direct from the factory, Little Timmy Sex Dolls. Each doll is made out of soft latex. And to simulate the smell, each doll is sprayed with Oreo cookie cologne. So, please, won't you take these dolls home? And you can rest assured, they will never tell.
Holy shit!
Our republic is in danger. Our rights are being taken away. Do you have a feeling that there's something going wrong? You instinctively know when the news is lying. Have a huge abundance of common sense? Then it's your duty to get involved and educate others and mobilize. We Are Change is a citizens-based grassroots peace and social justice movement working to reveal the truth behind the events of September 11th, as well as the lies of the government and corporate elite who remain suspect in this crime. We Are Change also aids the sick and dying first responders through fundraising and social outreach programs in order to promote awareness of those who suffer from physical, emotional, and psychological traumas they received in the aftermath of 9/11. We Are Change also seeks an uncompromising and independent investigation into the crimes of 9/11, with subpoena power granted to obtain a long overdue resolution for the survivors and families of the deceased. We reject the official explanation of the events leading up to, during, and after the attacks on September 11th, 2001, as well as fear-based politics and state-mandated propaganda being disseminated by the corporate media, which has facilitated the cover-up of 9/11. We have many chapters across the country, and now even a Spanish-language organization. Go to wearechange.org to find a chapter that's right for you. We Are Change is a peaceful organization that does not discriminate in any way. We are a tolerance of all, regardless of racial, religious, ethnic, or sexual orientation. Join us now. That's wearechange.org. Dude, do you have a job? Are you looking for work? But the hard thing is, blasting out your resume to almost everybody. That's where emailmyresume.com comes into play. Check them out. Go to emailmyresume.com, or please just click the banner on top of the Crotch Out Radio Show. Dude, you're getting a job. That's emailmyresume.com. Also, Blockbuster Total Access, over 80,000 titles, free in-store exchanges, no late fees on online rentals, free shipping, and exclusively for Crotch Shot Radio Show listeners, 50% off your first month. Sign up now. That's Blockbuster Total Access. Apple Store, check them out, home of the iPod, MacBook, MacBook Pro, the Mac Mini, all those popular Mac products, the Mac Touch, everything nice. go to the Apple store. Also, jobs, just tech jobs, connecting IT's best to IT's best jobs. Also, Criminal Justice Job Central. Over 100 criminal justice jobs posted daily.
This is war.
Yes, right. We're back. This is the Crack Shot Radio Show. The answer to whether Alex Jones and Howard Stern had a baby. Wow, it stopped short.
How you doing?
How you doing? Welcome back. Yes, we got sponsors and shit.
Criminal justice jobs? You're promoting criminal justice jobs?
Yeah, ain't that a bitch?
Really?
Hey, they pay. Or until someone clicks the ad and tries to buy something. Hey. Freaking colloidal silver, it said no. Survivalist seed said fuck no.
Really?
Yes. they're like, hell no, we cannot be associated with the Crack Shot Radio Show. Damn it. Shoot. Oh, goodness.
Here's something to go with your marijuana show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just perusing the headlines here. I'm waiting for it to load. Let me get you your link.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
I'm interested to see what they say they did to this guy. Former firefighter pleads guilty to drug charge. A former Southern Illinois fire lieutenant has pleaded guilty to drug possession charges after authorities found 12 pounds of marijuana at his home.
Mm, 12 pounds?
Oh, and get this. He received 18 months of probation pleading guilty.
Well, he is a hero.
Small amount of cocaine and cash bundled in $1,000 increments were also found.
Oh, wait a minute. With intent to deliver cannabis. Okay, so let's say it was me. under the Rockefeller laws, I would have gotten...
Dude, you'd have 12 grams and you would have gotten the book thrown at you.
Life in prison. Life in prison.
He had 12 pounds and he got 18 months of probation. But he had served for the fire department for 14 years before fired in September.
All right, well,
they did fire him.
Yeah, they fired him, so.
He doesn't have to clean up at the Blues Fest.
No. He doesn't have to clean, But you know what? Look at the bright side. At least he has a profitable side gig to fall back on. Freaking Nino Brown, the firefighter. Ain't no pot grown in the hood. Ain't no Uzis made in Harlem. I guess I was the only one that ever saw New Jack City. All right.
Yeah, no, you lost me. I don't watch movies that much.
All right.
Have other things to do.
Yeah. For some reason, you seem like a Jean-Claude Van Damme type of chick to me, but okay.
What I do in my bedroom is my own personal.
Well, all right.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on. Oh, Mary Grace is going to cut you if she catches you flirting with me.
Did she say that?
I don't know. She seems like she would.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we'll talk more about that after the show. But with that being said, this is one of my favorite songs that that I've ever played on the show. This is I Fucked Deborah. This is what I've always planned. It was my intention. I got so brave, drink in hand, lost my discretion. Yes, it's what I'm used to. Just want to wear her out. I'm Randy for her. Caught my attention. I fucked Deborah, she liked it. Husband's limp dick, don't cut it. I fucked Deborah, she liked it. I hope you know your time is sucking. It was so wrong, it felt so right. She might be in love with me tonight. I fucked Deborah, she liked it. She liked it.
Yeah.
Now, Deborah, I know you're lame. It doesn't matter. You're my sexual slut. Just my heathen nature. It is what good guys do. It's how they should behave. My cock gets so hard. Not hard to do. I fucked Deborah and she liked it. A husband's slim cock, don't cut it. I fucked Deborah and she liked it. I hope you know it's time to suck it. It felt so wrong, it felt so right. She might be in love with me tonight. I fucked Deborah and she liked it. She liked it. Us Latins, we are so sexual. Our cocks full, lips so kissable. Hard to resist, so touchable. Too good to deny it. Ain't no big deal, it's so dirty. She liked it. Husband's limp cock, don't cut it. I fucked Deborah, she liked it. I hope you know it's time to suck it. I was so wrong, it felt so right. She might be in love with me tonight. I fucked Deborah, she liked it. She liked it. Deborah, see you in hell. There you go. Yeah. We got Boadoos. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Oh,
Boy.
Man. Yeah. Oh, so
Bodacious.
Oh, it's Bodacious?
Bodocious.
Bodocious.
Can you give us a phonetical on that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, you're in the chat room. Chat it up.
Boadoos. Boadoos? Oh, yes, thank you. It was the first one.
Which was,
yeah.
Bodocious?
Bodocious?
But there...
Boadoos?
Boadoos?
Boadoos.
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 We're totally wrong. Whatever, he's here.
Yeah.
He stumbled his way in the dark and found this little hole that we call...
Oh, oops.
You know, hell.
Welcome back,
John.
Forest of hate. Yes, the
forest.
Welcome to the forest of hate. John B., you muted yourself.
Yeah. Now I had to hang up.
Oh.
But yeah, I did mute myself before I had to hang up. I had
some
drama to deal with. Sorry about that.
All right. Well, no problem. This is a drama-free zone, though.
I know.
Sometimes it is. What the chick said. Who's the chick? John B., are you the chick?
Not really.
Who's the chick you're talking about? Bodos?
I'm not talking about anybody.
No, Bodos. There's some dude in the chat room. We can't pronounce his name worth a damn.
Bodacious?
No.
Nope.
How's it spelled?
B-O-A-D-O-U-S.
B-O-D-S?
D-O-U-S.
Can we just call him Big Booty?
Call him Booty. Booty.
Booty.
Booty.
Booty.
You know what I want to call him?
You are a kid toucher!
There you go.
But hey, guys, I got to eat, and I'm probably going to be getting phone calls the rest of the night. So, yeah, I do.
All right.
I got to keep my home phone free for the rest of the evening. So, Bella, talk to you all again soon.
All right.
Later.
Love you, sweetie.
What?
Nothing.
That didn't go unnoticed.
Yeah, Louie's loud mouth allowed me to hear what he just said with the phone 2 feet from my ear. Anyway. All right, I'm out.
Well,
I'll
he might
later.
Be stopping in Memphis then. You know?
Oh, hey. All right.
Prison sex.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Prison sex is real love. Two men grunting in passion. Ew. All right. Well, now that we're on this subject, let me be a little gay real quick. Yo, American Apparel, those sweatshop free clothes that are made in America.
Yeah.
They look fucking horrible. American Apparel. I don't know why these women wear them. It's like a cross between 80s and retarded. American
is
Apparel.
Is it comfortable?
I don't know. Shit, most of their fabric is plastic. Or it looks like it's plastic.
Jeez.
Check it out, American Apparel, which does not sponsor this show. So you Google it, because I'm not telling you where the fuck to find it. I'm just saying, you know, yeah, it does. They do make revealing clothes.
All right,
clothes
so wait a minute. How do you get the 50% off on the Blockbuster thing?
Okay, this is what you do.
Just
you
call.
Go,
yeah, I just go to my local Blockbuster and I go, hey, I'm a crotch shot radio listener. You know, yeah, right. How am I going to do this?
No, okay. This is what you do. You go to the crotchshotradioshow.com website. You check on the right hand side. You try to find you find the banner, the Blockbuster Total Access banner.
It's a link thing. Okay.
Yes. That's how. That's the only way.
I really wanted to go up in my local Blockbuster and tell them I'm a crotch shot listener. I want my 50% discount. See what happened.
Get the fuck out of here! No.
I'd probably get arrested because saying crotch, you know, and shot all in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Hate crime.
Man, she tried to kick me in the ball. She said she was gonna
hate crown against crotches, you know?
We got Nate, United States Marine Corps. I think, if I'm right, that's what USMC stands for. And if that's what it stands for, then God bless. If not, then you suck. Let me see. How's it going? How's it going? We support the troops. We support the troops. We don't want you fighting in the war. We'd rather have you shooting Mexicans at the border. Well, no, I want you shooting Mexicans at the border.
Hey, you know what's tougher than a USMC wife?
What?
A USMC ex-wife.
Oh, well, yeah. Honey.
Proud to be one.
Wow. Honey, why you keep making me say Semper Fi every time you stick it in me? Semper Fi! Semper Fi!
No, what was really weird was when he got in my face and started screaming during sex. And said, let me see your screamy face. And I'm like, fuck, go away.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was like a thing, you know. Whoa. Huh?
I don't know what you've been told, but your vagina is rough, is icy cold, sound off.
Yeah, that was the quickest way to get me to go in reverse, scream right in my face. Wow.
One, two.
Screamy face, one, two.
Three, four. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, my question is, now that we got him in there, why is Obama trying to take away health care from the veterans?
What little they get.
Yeah, what little they get. Why he, and on top of that, he wants them to pay for it. So you mean to tell me you want to send soldiers in a life and death situation and have them bust their ass and you know, if I could take a little bit from the Disturbed song Indestructible, to win back the honor of coming home again. And then you're going to say, well, go fuck yourself. We're not paying for your medical. Like, what? All right. Yeah, so you can bail out all these fucking banks, Barack, but the people that actually bust their ass for this country, you're just going to tell them to go screw. All right, yeah, that's nice. Yes. Yes, thanks.
Well, you know, I have some theories on that, but I'm not sure I should say it out loud.
Okay.
You know, I mean, something that seems incredibly obvious, but, you know, not sure if it would be the wisest move to, you know, they tend to fear our veterans, you know, they tend to really be worried.
Okay.
You know, remember when What's-Her-Face, Nia Poliano, or however you say it, came out and said, you know, oh, they're the terrorists, we got to worry about them.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. all sorts of veteran groups are getting on top of her, and I mean, it's not a pretty little fight.
We got Nate on the phone right now.
What's going on? How y'all been?
Nathaniel.
I don't know if you remember me, Louie. I was on I used to come on another talk show radio, one of these talk show shows a long time ago. Anyway.
that narrows it down.
Right. No, the guy from Georgia, crazy guy.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Wait, are
so
you from
I'm
Georgia? Is he from Georgia?
I'm in North Carolina.
Are you a crazy guy?
No.
No.
Oh. No. Okay. No. No. The guy that he's talking about. You know. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about him because then he'll start his crap again with me. Like, you see, they're talking about, we're going to kill, you know, if there's soldiers on the street, we got to kill them. What? Wait, whoa, whoa, hey,
wait.
Whoa, whoa.
Oh, wait,
hey,
wait, I've got some stuff to say about that, but we'll wait on the hold that because I've got some theories, but all right, let's move ahead.
Okay, so, crap, what was I getting at?
Okay.
Man, so I saw you sent me a MySpace. I guess you sent them to probably a bunch of people. But the invite to the show tonight is talking about the illegal war on drugs and how messed up it is.
Yeah.
Well, I was Googling, and I was actually in a forum reading product reviews on hydroponic stealth grow boxes. So I was like, oh, that's perfect, man. So I wanted to chime into the show and listen to it. But it sounds like topics.
No, but tell go ahead.
As far as the Obama veterans thing, man, I want to tell you about this. And this is Clinton, all these people, all these, you know, just these puppets up there, that one of the goals right now, I mean, it's the hugest thing, the biggest thing for them, well, I mean, it's coming, absolutely coming, is the chips, the RFID chips. And I feel like, and with the veterans, especially the veterans' health care, and the government employees, because every time he gives a healthcare speech, he says, and we're going to speedline the process and make it all electronic. All these records are going to be electronic, and we're not going to have this paper trail. We're going to save billions of dollars that way like other countries do and all this stuff. But he never says how. He never says it.
Yeah, like does his whole campaign change? He never says how he's gonna change anything. When during his campaign when he was
That's
in New York,
he hasn't been told yet. I mean, he just needs to get into office. He didn't know. But they're gonna put these chips in everybody. Have everybody, and if you want health care, it's gonna be a universal health care system, free health care. Okay, well, not free. I mean, the people like me and y'all that work are paying for it. But it's going to be free health care across the board. And in order to get it, in order to receive it, you're going to have to get chipped because everything's electronic. So get your chip, get free health care. People are going to be jumping up and down for that. They're going to be like, yay, free health care. What do you mean I can't get that surgery I need? You know, that's how it's going to go. But then it's going to go from that to if you want to drive a car, you're going to have to get one of these chips. Everything... It's not going to be, you know, I used to think when I first found out about this stuff a couple of years ago, I thought that they were going to do the chips and it was going to be like, get it or they were going to have guns to your heads. But it's not going to be like that, I don't think. I think it's going to be a choice and it's going to be, and then it'll be to where so many people have them, or like every baby born has to get one, you know, and so that basically within, you know, two or three generations, you phased out everybody that doesn't have an RFID chip. And I think the healthcare system is going to be the first thing, and I think he's going to put it on government employees and starting with the military, the guys overseas and everybody, really look, get this chip. Because they've already got the smart cards. I've got an RFID chip in my military ID. It's one of those little, you know, they call it a smart card, and we got them in, I want to say 2002, across the board, every branch of the military. And it's these little, it's got this little chip on it, and you can see it, and I'm pretty sure it's an RFID chip. I don't know. I put mine in the microwave for 10 seconds. I don't know what it is. But anyway, that's my two cents on that. Sorry.
All right. So basically, if those little microchips have, if your cards have those little microchips, put them in the microwave for 10 seconds, and that should kill it?
I don't know. It probably wasn't good
but
for it.
But you can't do that. You can't do that with your hand.
Yeah, exactly. I mean.
And this, all right, now the trick is, once you get the RFID chip and you realize you've been duped, it's not going to be a matter of deactivating it, because deactivating it could deactivate you. It's going to be a matter of when they deactivate it, how you reactivate it. That's going to be the trick.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. Did you not get that?
Mm-mm. Neither did half the audience.
So, like, when they are you saying the chips will have, like pot? Because I've heard that they can do, like, certain emotions make animals with the chips angry and stuff like that.
They can do that without a chip, by the way.
Wow. I'm saying if they turn off the chip, do you think that would kill somebody? Or
I'm thinking that it will go to that, yeah.
If the government turns the chip off, then it would kill. And what
government or whoever has? Yeah, the trick will be how to keep it on once you get it, not how to turn it off.
I don't want one to begin with.
Yeah,
well, I don't really know at all. It really upsets me that because I feel like this is so clear. I saw a Duracell commercial on Yahoo watching news videos. I think it might have been Fox News videos or Yahoo news videos. But and it was a Duracell commercial, and it had like this woman, and I think she was looking for a child.
Oh yeah,
with like a device. I caught like this the tail end of it, and I haven't seen it since. But stuff like that, and the kids, the Shiners clubs and I'm drawing a blank here. The
Masons?
Freemasons. Yeah, the Freemasons sponsoring these the chips, help the kids get the chips and stuff. In certain states, you can Google that. It's like Colorado or some way out state. They're sponsoring it. And it's like get your, you know, come down here and get your chip, get your kid chip so you can find them if he ever runs away or gets adjusted or whatever. And on the surface, it looks all good. But, I mean, it's going to come to where that's a common thing, just like computers in people's homes. Started out, only a couple people had them, and then before you know it, now everybody's got them. I live by myself, and I've got three.
Well, Nate, I think you're right that it will not come down with a gun to your head, take it or die, you know, but I think it will be incrementalism where it, you know, well, if you want to drive, well, you know, if you want to eat, you know, if you want a bank account, you know.
And then, so when it's like 70% of the population has it, and they're all good with it, like people are normal, and it's like, and all the government employees have it, all the news networks, all the propaganda's all for it, so everybody's in their heads, they're for it. Well, then it'll come down to us against them, or the people that are chipped against the people that aren't chipped. Like, something will happen, you know, like a 9/11 catalyst event, and they'll say, well, it's the people that weren't chipped. They're the problem. They're the threat. And so then it's us against them. And
right.
I see it coming down to that, too. I don't know, man. But at the same time, that's why I said I was on a radio show, not on it, but, I mean, just listening to it quite frequently, and him and then that guy in Texas, Alex Jones. I mean, but I can only take, you know, a couple weeks of it, and then I just kind of put it to the side and be like, well, I'm just going to keep growing my little garden and, you know, doing my thing. But
yeah.
What you growing in your garden?
Got some little tomatoes. Got some tomatoes.
Yeah?
Trying to add some marijuana to it. But
nice.
A little health care.
But
I got me a big old garden this year.
Yeah? What you got?
Yeah.
Bush.
I got a big bush. I got non-GMO seeds, and I got corn and squash
nice.
And broccoli and zucchini and melons and
big melons.
Watermelons and cantaloupe and soybeans, a whole bunch of soybeans. Those puppies grow. Wow.
Nice.
Or edamame. So, yeah, we're good.
Are you picking vegetables yet?
No, not yet.
But she, well, you are growing some big cucumbers, but.
No, not cucumbers.
Where are you at in the United States?
I'm in Louisiana.
Nice, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What are you guys' opinions on the swine flu?
It's a hoax. Yeah, it's a hoax.
It was a test run.
See how scared everybody got?
Well, see how it spread. I am noticing that it seems to be race specific on death.
Which races?
Mexican.
Hispanic.
Yeah. And if I was watching the numbers, and I know this is going to sound real weird if you thought I lost you with a chip, you know, on the Fibonacci sequence, on the reported numbers, in Mexico, there was a 6-step difference on Fibonacci sequence and the number of people that had it and the number of people that died. And in America, there was an 8-step difference in the number of people that had it and the number of people that died. And I'm still kind of watching that. And for some reason, I think that's important. I don't know why, but...
You think it could have been two different viruses, or...?
I don't know.
Or just maybe
vaccines
that were given before, like, that were already exposed to, like...
No.
Nothing
we've
seen before.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the reason why, I mean, it's already admitted that it escaped the lab. It got released somehow. But for this to happen naturally, I was actually reading, I forgot what website, I'm tempted to say WebMD, but for this to happen naturally, an infected bird would have had to have flown to Europe, infect a pig here, affect a pig in Europe, the pig would have had to reinfect the bird, and then that bird would have had to fly to Asia, infect a pig in Asia, and that pig would have had to infect a human, and then that human would have had to go into Mexico for something like this to happen naturally.
Uh-huh. Okay. We're looking for an employee that works on a cruise ship that goes around the world, that has a pet bird who has a swine
pet
fetish.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a test run.
We're looking for that. We're looking for that German dude from Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls.
Nice. It was a test run just to see how it goes, or?
Yeah, even Neapoliano, or however you say her name, was quoted as saying, you know, the real flu's coming. And I think also, too, one of the reasons why they did the whole hype with it was to get everybody all stirred up. So when the real flu breaks out, everybody will go, oh, it's nothing, and not do anything to...
What can we do? I don't trust the vaccinations.
Oh, no. You know, back in the day with the... I'm trying to think. It was World War I, I think, where the vaccinations killed more people and transmitted more of the disease then then I'm trying to think. I can't. Oh, can't remember.
I don't know, man. I don't want everybody catching a flu and starting to die and stuff. And then I'm like, well, I don't trust the government, so I'm not going to go get a I'm not going to go get vaccinated. And then
have you ever heard Dr. Deagle?
No.
All right. Well, he's pretty cool, and one of his favorite quotes is, "People who eat fast food and still watch TV don't matter because they're going to be dead soon anyway."
That's
so
what
you can't worry about. That's what he says, and I will pull up his exact quote. I've got it like written down. It's pretty badass. He's like, I think
hold on, let me get the NSA.
I'm not sure exactly who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that quote's pretty freaking.
Yeah, I actually made a blog post the other day, Bill Deagle on the Jeff Rentz show.
Okay, he says, if you are eating normal food, quote unquote McDonald's, brushing your teeth with fluoride toothpaste, and taking your flu shot, you don't matter. You're going to be dead soon anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, so don't worry about everybody. Worry about, you know, those that are with eyes to see and ears to hear that are not going to take the
If you're
chip.
Still watching TV?
Yeah.
Well,
okay, so if you watch TV, eat fast food, and use fluoride toothpaste. I use Tom's. I'm kind of proud there. I use Tom's, non-fluoride.
Right on, so do I.
Also, eat McDonald's.
That's the thing. That's the thing. I don't watch TV anymore, and I don't eat fast food because I'm a diabetic, and I will die if I do. But I still use fluoride toothpaste, so shit.
Have you tried Tom's? It's great.
They don't sell it in my neighborhood.
Oh,
hey,
man.
They sell it
you
on the internet.
Tomsofmaine.com, I think. But I mean, you talk about some great toothpaste. You feel like your teeth. I mean, it's better than regular toothpaste. I think definitely.
Yeah, and you know what? If all else fails, brush with salt and baking soda.
Really?
Salt and baking soda.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll whiten your smile.
I can do that.
So will come, but
wow. Is that why your smile's so white there, Louie?
Well, ooh. No, that's why my wow.
No, he has a strawberry smile. He has a strawberry tea smile.
Yes, because I like giving hysterectomies.
Nice.
Yeah. So Nate, I put in the chat the link to the blog that I posted. With videos from the Jeff Rentz show with Bill Deagle on it. So, do not take the vaccines related to swine flu. So enjoy.
Where's that at?
Oh, it's right. It's in the chat room. You should see it right next to Louis B.
No.
It was the Spanish flu where the vaccines killed more.
Oh wait, there was a Spanish flu. So
what?
So people were staying away from Hispanics.
What's the governor in California going to do with weed?
Well, actually, let me actually read. Well, he's actually thinking about legalizing it because I mean it's giving him $14 billion a year.
Already? Or when he does?
Already.
Wow.
Already because of medicinal marijuana and whatnot.
Already getting $14 billion just for that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and if the federal government taxes just 10%, the federal government would get $1.4 billion.
Oh, if the federal government taxes the medicinal marijuana in California.
Yeah.
But that would mean, if they tax it, that would mean they agree with it.
Exactly.
Aha. Wow.
It might take a long time for me to fucking type this up. I'm not a fast typer, but Either that, if I could find an electronic copy of this article, I'll post it on the blog. It's from Joe Klein, and the article, it's high time legalizing marijuana may be politically risky, but the economic benefits are becoming difficult to ignore. So, in other words, legalize it, time to recognize it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
All right, I suck.
I'm hitting a bow right now.
Oh shit. Hold on. Let me help you out here.
Nice.
Let me go Power Ranger. Oh, wrong one. Oh, shit, where did I put it? Oh.
So are you a real doctor?
Smoke weed every day.
Natural doctor. A real natural doctor. A real natural doctor. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't push pharma. I'm not a pharma pimp. Ooh, baby.
Nice. Ooh. That is like legalized drug dealing. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Tell you what. My dad went in there. He's a diabetic. And he had some kind of medicine, and he couldn't afford it anymore. He couldn't afford the medicine at all.
Well, that's how they get people, you know? I mean, they put you on these medications, and if you stop taking it, it's more deadly than the disease you had in the first place. If you stop taking it, so here's your chip. You know, if you want your medicine.
Free medicine, yeah.
Free or hell, just be able to get it. You know, let's take free out of the equation. We're not going to sell you this medicine that we've made you depend on. Oh, it is so insidious what the pharmaceutical companies have done. They've made it so, you know, the medicines, like say for high blood pressure or diabetes or whatever, if you take the natural remedies, you will have horrible interactions. So you cannot take the pharmas with the natural medicines for the disease that you have. Once people have gone pharma, I won't touch them.
Huh.
I will help you get off the pharma if that is your desired goal. Go ahead.
What can you do for genital warts?
What?
What?
The hell?
No, I'm kidding. That is cool. And what all kinds of treatment do you use? Just herbs and?
No, well, I have equipment and tools, and I do energy medicine, and you know, a typical treatment. Would you like a sample healing?
She'll stun gun your balls.
I've done that, yeah.
She'll fry them. She'll fry them off until they fall off. It's like a cured.
Would you like a sample healing?
I would. I would like a sample hearing. Healing.
Do I have your permission, Louie, to hijack your show for a minute?
Okay, well, after this.
Smoke weed every day.
Yes.
Smoke weed every day. Smoke weed every day.
There you go. All right, there you go.
All right. Hold on. All right. 12 years, Nate, you were 12 years old. Has something to do with anger. Right now, that's your priority emotional problem.
Wait, what?
You were 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And it has something to do with anger.
Is what my problem is now?
Your priority emotional problem negatively affecting your health. Yes. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And breathe in green light. Breathe it in. Let it cleanse and clear your body. Breathe the green light into your liver. Infinite love and gratitude to Nate. Infinite love and gratitude to Nate's emotional body, physical body, spiritual body. Infinite love and gratitude to all Nate has been. All Nate is now, and to all Nate will become in all directions of time and space. And that's cleared.
That's it?
That's how I start with people.
Wow.
Clear off. Did you feel? Do you feel a difference?
Well, I mean, I hit that bowl a couple times. No, I do really, though. I do feel relaxed. A little.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. That
yeah.
is cool.
Yeah, when I do the ILGs with people and I hit things that, you know, like, they've forgotten, they've buried, you know, and I'm like, you were 18 years old and, you know, righteous indignation, or God only knows what shows up, right? And they just look at me and just... and start crying, and I'm like, oh shit.
Oh shit.
You know, and I'm like 5 feet tall, so of course everybody leans over on me and cries on me. Oh, don't do that. Cry over there. I love you, but don't cry on me. No, just gonna get rid of it. You know, don't need for the tears.
Take care of this. Yeah.
Yeah, let's just sweep it away. Come on. I'll show you my screamy face if you cry at me.
Hoorah.
Oh, dude, there was one night I went to New Orleans, and this guy, you know, I mean, he pegged me, right? He walked into the bar, he fucking, right there, it's you, you know, and I'm like, oh, shit. So I saw him watch me, he didn't order a drink. He ran out of cigarettes, and he's just sitting there watching me with his back to the door. And I could tell by the type of guy he was that was unnatural for him, you know. And so I went and bought him a pack of cigarettes, threw it on the table, you know, and I'm like, will you please stop watching me now? And you know, and he's like, I like you. Well, that's good. I'm married, you know. And he said, to who? And I'm like, a Marine. And he looked around, and he said, well, clearly he's not here. And I looked around. I was like, oh, damn, you're right. I can't even pass one motherfucker off in as far as him, you know.
What?
I said, I told him I'm married. And he said, you know, to who? And I said, a Marine. You know, my shoulders held back, you know, like, fuck you, dude, you know.
Right.
And he looked around the bar, and he's like, and clearly he's not here. Looked
wow.
around, I'm like, oh, there's not one motherfucker in this bar I could pass off as him. Oh, shit. You know? And I'm like, you're right, you know? And he looked at me and he went, hoorah. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. I have done identified myself as somebody who will go there. Oh, God. Oh, shit. I'm in trouble.
Give me a cigarette, back, mister.
Like, enjoy your smokes. Now leave me the fuck alone.
Walk me back to the bar as a walk of shame.
Oh, dude, I was like, I tried. I thought I was just gonna blow him off and just let him know you don't have a chance. Leave me the hell alone, you know. And instead, I'm like, oh shit. Oh shit.
Well, all right.
Yeah, you just got to kind of understand. Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting weekend in New Orleans. I walked around the Ninth Ward that weekend. I worked in a homeless shelter and decided I'd go walk around the Ninth Ward and see it all for myself, you know. And they were like, little white girl, you don't want to be going around this neighborhood. It's not for white girls. You don't want to do that. And I'm like, it's the middle of the day. You know, and I don't own fear. Do you see fear attached to my body anywhere? And so I walked around the neighborhood, and it was quite enlightening, you know? It was interesting. I saw somebody get shot right in front of me. I was like, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And, I mean, it would be, the yuppies are moving into the neighborhood, because since Katrina, you know, they've
gotten... They're trying to buy it all up.
Yeah, because the houses are real nice. I mean, they're nice if you go in and fix it up. So you could tell a yuppie house. They had a big fence and big dogs, you know.
Uh-huh.
They drive their car in and lock the fence behind them. And, you know, and
shit.
So you'd have like a yuppie house, and then the next house would be, you know, a girl who you tell is working for a living, you know. And then
mm-hmm.
the next house would be a mama with 16 children, and then the next house would be a drug dealing house. And then, you know, you'd have a house that was still, you know, gutted out and had the stench of dead bodies, you know, and, you know, what, we're 3-4 years post-Katrina, you know, and then, you know, it's just, it's like, this is America, dude.
Wow.
Why are we living like this? You know, this is like third world country standard, you know?
Yeah.
And you can go 5-6 miles over here and you've got one of the biggest tourist sites in the world. Why isn't some of that money coming over here? You know, and making this habitable. You know, I'm not talking about fixing it up and making them rich or anything. I'm just talking about making it habitable. You know?
The money we spend on these wars. I mean, we can do so much here.
Oh, I know. I know.
I mean, so much. And even, or not spent the money. I mean, just maybe.
Uh-oh.
I mean, here's
guys,
the crazy idea of paying back our debt. I mean,
yeah. Time for me to end the show.
Fine, then.
What? It's already 9 o'clock. So went over. Like to thank everyone for coming in, listening. Nate, you're always welcome. Yeah. You know,
thanks, sir.
Always. This is a friendly show.
Smoke weed every day.
Nice. Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
yeah. So anyway, yeah, this has been a Crotch Shot Radio Show saying, can you stop locking up the botheads? They're not doing nothing to nobody. And at the very least, tax them to hell. So
yeah.
So that way, you know, that's the quickest way to stop a pothead from. Damn it, it's fucking expensive. Fuck these government fees. All right, so anyways, this is a Crotch Shot Radio Show. What?
User fees.
All right, this is a Crotch Shot Radio Show, and as always, fuck your mothers.